church in Detroit, Michigan. It's called Metro Baptist Church. And that song was outlawed. They weren't allowed to sing that song at that church. And, you know, it was it's one of those, you know, everybody, you know, has got to get out there and they got to win 10,000 to the Lord and all that. You know, they thought that that song tried to degrade. You know, we don't hardly do anything. God does all the work. Amen. I got to Canada and God built a church, amen? Amen. Little as much when God gets in it. And, man, if you think you're bringing something to the table, I had a guy, a missionary, came to our church going to Hawaii. And that's what you were, Pastor Keenan was there. He thought he brought, he said that. He said, I want to tell you what I bring to the table. And I mean, right there, everybody went, click, shut him off. You know, he came in with his little zoot suit, you know, wearing this little suit is made for his little brother. You know, why do people wear those suits anymore? That's the new fashion today. Weird. Amen. I don't know if you don't, you say, why aren't you wearing a tie and a suit? Well, number one, I don't like ties, but that's not the reason why I'm not wearing ties. This is a barong. This is a Filipino. They wear these in churches over there, dress shirt. And man, when God started bringing Filipinos in and I saw those barongs, I said, hallelujah. We're going to start wearing barongs. So there you go. Give you a little background on that. All right. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Amen. That's right. I wanted to, one of the things I wanted to say, when Pastor had asked us to come down to the missions revival, I didn't go to Corey and Catherine. I didn't go to the Ludwigs. I didn't go to anybody. They all said, hey, if you're going, we want to go. You know, I didn't say, all right, I need at least 15, 20 volunteers. We don't do that at Solid Rock. We just, you know, everybody wants to go everywhere. We go to the Philippines. I've had close to 50 Amen. Show up in the Philippines with us there. We're going to Vietnam. Brother, I forgot to ask you this. How many can come? Well, there are going to be a lot. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want to bring too many. It may be up to 40.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, that's something we need to know before we come. Because when things like that get announced at Solid Rock, it kind of goes a little crazy. So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there to you. Okay. So we're planning on going to Vietnam in November. But anyway, Romans chapter number 11. Romans 11, we're going to start verse number 11. The Bible says, and I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Thank God for that, amen? It's about ready to change, but for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. That's what Paul was. He was the apostle of the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. He said, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, thou wilt say the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. But if God, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert graft contrary to nature into an olive tree, a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be graft into their own olive tree. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And I want to look at verse number 23. The Bible says, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And I want to preach here tonight for just a little bit on this subject. Ask God, for He is able. Amen? And that's what we're doing here this week. We're asking God, you know, that what would He have us to do? God is able. Amen? I have seen what God can do, and I don't believe we've touched the hem of the garment. The Bible says if we just have the faith of a mustard seed, that amazes me, that statement. We could move mountains. And I'm thinking, man, we don't even have one little piece of the mustard seed in this generation that we're living in. And ask God, for He is able. And that's what we're here this week to do, is to ask God. I hope you've grabbed a faith promise card. And you know, if you're not tithing, faith promise is you're wasting your time. Yeah. Amen. You don't get to decide what you want to do with your tithe. Your tithe is not giving. Your tithe is bringing. No doubt about it. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You learn to give when you give above that 10%. Amen. And I'm telling you what God will do for you. He is able. And I have seen what He can do when people will obey the Word of God. And that's what we're here. Brother Homer always said that faith promise was four words. I'm willing, He's able. I'm willing, He's able. You know, I remember being with Brother Homer Smith. He was one of my heroes, another one. Amen. Look forward to seeing him on the other side. Amen. Won't be long. Could be tonight. The trumpet may sound tonight. Man, look around this world. Putin's got his finger on that nuclear button. And when that happens, we better get ready. Folks, better get ready. World War III is about ready to start. And man, there's a lot of people today that are not ready for the return of the Lord. Amen? You know, every time somebody in our church gets married, we just had Jim and Gina get married. I know every one of them are praying at least. These guys are saying, praying, oh, Lord, at least let me get through the honeymoon. Amen? And then you can come on back. It's a standing joke around Solid Rock. We harass them every time. I'm praying the Lord will come back the day before you get married. Amen? But anyway, I believe He's coming back soon. I mean, the signs of the times are everywhere. America's never been in more trouble than it's in today. It's a godless nation. It's a nation that's leading the world in all some of the filth. You know, all this transgender and the nonsense that's going on with these sodomites today. It's amazing. And Canada is no better, but we just don't have, stage that America has. And America, it's amazing. You know, coming back here... every time you come back, it just seems to get worse and worse. Amen? But anyway, let's pray. We'll get into this message. Lord, we sure do thank You. God, I pray that You'd help us here tonight. Lord, thank You for the singing. Lord, Your presence that's already been here through these testimonies and these songs. And God, I pray that You'd help through this message, Lord, that each and every one of us would understand that You are able. And God, we need to be willing. Lord, I pray that You'd help us. Lord, this missions revival, I pray, God, Lord, if there's somebody here that isn't even tithing, I pray that they'd get in. Lord, these people that are throwing these little $20 offerings at God, Lord, what an offense. God, I pray people just get in. And Father, start realizing how important it is. Lord, help us. In Your name we ask. Amen. Says there that God is able, amen. Israel had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ here in the book of Romans chapter 11 when He came to this earth. And as a result, we see the gradual turning of God in that book of Acts from the Jews to the Gentiles. And although the church of the Lord, His body, is a Jewish is a Jew-Gentile body, it is primarily a Gentile body today. I mean, I don't know. I've read books about Jews that have gotten saved. I ain't never met one. I read the book about Jacob Gartenhaus, got saved. Some of you may know some, but I don't know any. Right now, God is saving Gentile nations around the world. And thank God for that. The Jews, there's gonna, that strong delusion, they are partly blinded for the time. But the Bible says that God is able to restore them to their position of blessing. And I want to look at those three words in our text here in Romans chapter 11, in that text verse, verse 23, God is able, amen? In the Old Paths Baptist Church, if we need a revival in any area, it is in the area of prayer, amen? That God would help us. You know, one of the things that I have found, having been saved for over 40 years, is that prayer is very closely associated with faith. Very, very closely associated with faith. One of the main reasons why we don't pray as we should is that we don't trust God as we should. Why you don't pray is because you don't believe what He's gonna that He will do what He says He will do. And I want to encourage you here today to pray, because God is able. Amen? God is able. He's able to hear. Amen? I'm glad He's not dead like these other gods that are out there today. The God of Catholicism is dead. He's not my God. Amen? Their God's dead. The God of the Mormon church is dead. The God of the Jehovah of false witnesses is dead. Amen? I'm glad our God is able to hear. Amen. I know He can hear because He's heard me. You know, as we were flying down here, we told you that, how God stopped the plane so we could get on it. God heard. Amen. I want to say not only He is able to hear, He is able to answer. Amen. There's some needs here at Old Paths Baptist Church. There's some needs, some great pressing needs. And there's needs that need to be answered. Amen. And He is able to hear, He is able to answer, and He is able to do. Amen. I'm glad I have seen God do above and beyond what I could ever ask or think. And I'm so glad for that. I want to give you a few things on ask God, for He is able. Number one, God is able to stir up your church in revival. So ask Him to do it. Amen. You know, we pray for revival. We'll pray for it for a little bit. We don't really pray out of sincerity. You know, I think of, verses in the Word of God. The Bible says there in Psalms 85, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Amen? I'm reminded of another verse in the book of 2 Chronicles. He says there, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. You know, I think that's where we're at today, folks. Same place Israel was at that time. Man, we need revival. You know, I believe we're at the point, I don't know that we're ever going to see nationwide revival. We can still see church revival, amen? How about personal revival? Let's start there. That's what it starts with. I believe it was old Charles Finney defined revival as this. He said, it's nothing more or less than a new beginning of obedience to the Word of God. Yeah. Amen. Some of you need to start obeying again. Yeah. You've been away for some time. And it's time that we start a new beginning, that we start realizing that God wants to bless us, but we've got to follow Him in obedience. I like that definition. A new beginning of obedience to the Word of God. I defined a revival some time ago in our church as life from death. Amen? Thank God for that life that we've got. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. It's laughter from despair. Man, I got something to be happy about. Some of you don't look like you're awful. You're very happy tonight. I mean, it's amazing. We come to church, man. We ought to come to church because we got joy in our heart, amen? Thank God for that. I don't have to, you know, as she said, I don't have that anxiety ain't there no more.
Amen.
That'll happen when you get saved.
Amen.
Revival is life from death, laughter from despair, liberty from domination. Thank God for that liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. It's labor from decay and dilapidation. Amen. That's what revival is. Thank God for that. I want to say here, as you look at revival, you know why we need revival in America today? Because revival is demanded because of the darkness. Man, what a darkness that we are living in today. Second Chronicles there, and that, it says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. You know, the best thing about dark times in our lives is that in those times we are most likely to seek help from God and draw close to Him. We've heard testimonies about people having nightmares and dreams. And you know, I believe God works in dreams. Yeah. Amen. That's what God used in my life. Amen. Dreaming about hell. Use that for Brother June. Somebody else testified. Destiny. You know, thank God, folks. You know, when you get down right there, that's where God can do something for somebody.
Amen.
You know, Jacob wrestled with the angel during the night. Amen. And was renamed Israel. The butler had a dream by night in the dungeon, and God showed him that he was going to be restored to his place with the king. Nicodemus first came to Jesus by night, and eventually came to know him as the light of the world. Amen? We're in a dark hour. Ain't no doubt about it, folks. But I thank God, be of good cheer. Amen? Thank God, he is able. Amen? Revival is demanded because of the darkness. You know, I think about the darkness of the hour may motivate us to draw nigh to God, that He can shine that light upon our countenance. You know, America is getting dark. Canada is getting dark. The world is getting dark. Revival is demanded because of the darkness. I want to say also that revival is demanded because of the drought. What a drought. It says there in 2 Chronicles, he said there in that verse that we read, he said, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain. You know, I can't imagine. You know, maybe some of you, it's been some time that heaven's been shut up. You know, you pray and God don't hear nothing you're saying. If you're not tithing, I guarantee you God ain't listening.
Amen.
You're sinning against God. What you are is a crook.
Yeah.
You're worse than a bank robber. You steal from God. You know, remember stealing from mom when you're a kid? Now you're stealing from God. It's amazing where Christians can stoop to today. You know, heaven, you know, we ought to think about heaven being shut up. You know, the Bible compares rain in the Word of God rain to the Word of God in the Bible. He says there in Deuteronomy 32:2, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. Amen. I thank God, you know, we've been here in church and that rain has been coming down. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. You know, we live in a country, we got Bibles everywhere. We got them stacked in our home. You know, I like a nice Bible. I've got a Bible for reading. I got a Bible for preaching. I got a Bible for the prison. I got a Bible in the truck. You got Bibles everywhere. But there is no rain in many places. Because the Bible is not being preached. It's not being read. You know, you go into most churches, you know, and they don't even know how to preach the main message anymore, the gospel. The gospel has been watered down. No wonder heaven has been shut. No wonder there's no rain. You know, you got preachers like we mentioned here tonight that lead somebody through a prayer. Man, if I'd have known that, I'd have put my foot, I'd have knocked him out. He's just a little guy. I wouldn't take much. I'd have probably killed him. Stuff like that just aggravates me. And, you know, you trust people. And, I'm a whole lot less trusting now. Bible says in the book of Amos, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of God. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Man, I'm telling you, because of the lack of rain in our country, in our world today, the lack of the Word of God, we are plagued. This country is plagued. The problem's not the transgenders. The problem's not the sodomite crowd. The problem is that our churches, the heaven has been shut up. We're used to going through the motions. We're used to, bulletins and doing everything in a set way. And folks, there's no thirst. There's no fruitfulness. Churches are just graveyard dead. God's word. He talked about Madeline Murray O'Hare last night, how she got the Word of God out of the public school system. He's disallowed. I'm telling you what, the Word of God is disallowed in most churches today. Yeah. Is what is being preached. I'm telling you what, the heavens have been shut up. Revival is demanded because of the drought. And folks, God's Word has been disobeyed in so many places. Our court systems have been turned upside down. Right across the land, you got Congress, and the Senate. It's just an absolute debacle. It's a mess. And I want to say revival not only is demanded because of these things, but it's also demanded because of the devouring locust. He says there, or if I command the locust to devour the land. That's what I think is going on in America and the world today. The locusts are devouring the land. Satan, I believe, has been unleashed upon this world. I believe the Lord's coming back soon. I've been praying for these days. I've been praying for the Antichrist to be able to go. We've been praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you. I don't know. I believe the Antichrist is alive right now. God help us. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Man, if you're clinging to some crazy, 1, 2, 3 profession that's never changed your life, man, when I got saved, God did a work. It was a wonderful work. Thank God for that. But these devouring locusts that are going through our nation, and I'll guarantee you, where the devouring locusts are going to land on churches. Don't need to go to the bars. He's already got them. Don't need to go to the public school. He's already got them. He's already got Congress. He's got the Senate. He's got the White House. He's got it all. It's the church that he's coming to devour. The devouring locusts are coming into your homes. Satan, the spirits of the devils, are at work in our churches today. I think of these devouring locusts. The Bible speaks about Satan and the spirits. It talks about the seducers. Man, I'm telling you, I have been alive long enough to see these seducers that have come in. Some of them have waltzed into Baptist churches, trying to lead people in directions that would be contrary to the Word of God. That's one thing that's lacking in this day that we're living in is spiritual discernment. That God, that's what we're going to need tonight. You're going to grab, or tomorrow night, you're going to grab this faith promise card. And you're going to need God to help you to have spiritual discernment to know what to put on it. That God would help you so that you can step out by faith. This isn't something that you put on a calculator. This isn't something that you try to budget. This is something that you do by faith. And that's so that you can, as the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he, that's what he can do it. He is able. Amen? And this day that we are living in, revival is demanded. Folks, that's what we need today. God is able to stir up your church. Old Paz, do you want revival? I know I do. We do at Solid Rock, but I don't think we really want it bad enough. I believe revival, there's some demands on revival. There's a lot more than that, obviously, but the demands of revival, there is a great cost for revival. There is no doubt about it. Man, we are ate up with the world. We are ate up with carnality and ate up with technology, ate up with, going through the motions. God is able to stir up your church in revival, so ask Him to do it. Who else is going to do it? Pastor Keenan can't do it. I can't do it. Brother Matt, Pastor Matt can't do it. Brother Mike can't do it. God can. He's the only one. He's the only one. We've got to believe that He can, and we need to ask Him. That's what we're doing here this week. This is going to be the heartbeat of Old Paths Baptist Church for the next year. That's what I tell our people. November Missions Revival sets the tone for the rest of the year. We got Stampede Revival. We got Family Revival. Family Revival is going to be a waste of time, preacher, if our people don't continue to grow in their faith. You know, if we decide to just say, you know what, forget giving to missions, forget, being a part of Faith Promise, I guarantee you we'll see that. We'll see heaven shut up. There'll be no rain. The locusts will sweep in and devour the church. Man, I don't know about you. I don't want that. You know, I believe we got an oasis there in Calgary, Alberta. We do. We have a good church. But we can lose it as fast as we got it. And we need to realize that God is the only one that can stir us up. We need to pray. We need to pray. And God would that God would help us to be able to see revival, missions revival. That's what we're looking for this week, that our hearts would be revived in this area of giving. I believe this is where everything else hinges on your what you're going to do with your money. You want to be able to see God open the windows of heaven? I want to see Him do that here at Old Pass. It's going to start right here. Amen. I don't know who the duds are. Obviously, we got some duds here at Old Paths. You're a dud if you don't tithe, amen? I mean, if you could sit and listen, I mean, I've heard them say it two or three times this week about people that don't give. Obviously, there must be somebody here. It's not 100% giving. Who is it? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. We'll let Brother Mike go back there and beat you up. I don't know about you. I want to get in on what God's doing here. I'm telling you, we give into these Ponzi schemes. You know, you get some scam artist calling you on a phone. You always find the money. You know, when you need that new deer rifle or you need, you know, whatever it is that you ladies need, your new dress or whatever, you find the money. But when it comes to being what we ought to be with the Lord, God help us. God is able to stir up your church in revival. Ask Him to do it. Amen? It ought to be our prayer every day. God, we need revival at Old Paths. Amen? I have become dead. God is able. I want to say number two, God is able to save your close friends and loved ones. So ask Him to do it. We heard Brother Mike testify about it was your grandpa, right? Got saved on his deathbed. That stirred me up. Don't give up. Like he said, don't give up. And I'm telling you, the Bible, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this. It is that they might be saved. Now, what is your prayer? Are you praying for your grandmas and your grandpas? You know, we get used to praying for somebody when we hear them mention their name, and then we forget about them a week later. Yeah, prayer lists are good things to have. Write down those people. If you have a tendency to forget, write it down. I mean, if it was your grandma, if it was your dad, if it was your sister, if it was your husband, if it was your child, you would pray for them. Amen. Maybe not some of you. Amen. You know, we're more concerned about things that are going on. You know, I think about one of the things we need to pray about for our loved ones is pray for conviction. Amen. Conviction, amen? I know a lot of you around here knew Adam Koski. And I talked to Jeremy, and Jeremy had said 2 weeks before Albert died, he said, I had talked to Albert, and Albert had said, God He told Jeremy, he says, whatever it, I've been praying for that God would do whatever it takes to get you back to him, including my death. And God heard his prayer. You know, I've seen people down through the years praying. The one thing that we need more than anything is not somebody to go in there, you know, with some message as slick as a rat's tail. We need somebody to go in there that can preach with conviction, amen. I know Nancy's got family in the Philippines, not saved. And she's been praying that God would send somebody. You know, Brother June's been praying for his mom and daddy. Now they're moving to Canada. Amen. What an opportunity. Man, I'll tell you what, pray for conviction. Amen. You come in here. There's people here that are fakes, that are frauds, that no testimony. Amen. And they need to get saved. They need to make it real. Amen. Young people, old people, pray for conviction. Man, I'm telling you what, folks, God is able. We need to be willing to do what he would have us to do. We give up too easy. We quit. And we need to pray for conviction. I say we pray for circumstances. That was a pretty big circumstance, falling off side of a boat and drowning. Amen? What is the circumstance? You know, we pray for the providential hand of God to work in our children, to work in our families. The prayer ought to be, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to bring them to you. Folks, you know, we think that if we'll get a fancy illustration or we'll be able to say it a little bit better. Man, I'm telling you what they need is we need the providential hand of God. We need conviction. We need circumstances. We need him to be doing what only he can do. Amen? You know, there was people praying in Canada. Thank God. And one day God said, all right, I want you to go to Canada because there's some people that need to get saved. I don't believe God just, haphazardly waits for a missionary to say, you know what? Let me see. I'll just throw a dart at the globe and say, boom, right there. That's a good place to go. I remember going into missions revivals where that window they prayed about? The 1040 window or whatever. Is that what it's called? The 1040. We're only taking on missionaries in the 1040 window. And I'm thinking, what are you going to do with the rest of the world? I mean, God called us. I remember going into a number of them. I'm going to Canada. I wasn't even close to the 1040 window. I thought that was, it was just, I'm glad God is specific about where he calls people. You know, we don't just volunteer. The call of God was specific. I remember God wanted me to go to Canada. I thought God wanted me to go to Edmonton. And God changed and said, I want you. God didn't change. I understood where God wanted me more clearly, and that was in Calgary, Alberta. And I believe today, after 17 years and 5 months, I found the right place. I found a home. I found a church. Thank God for that. I get to be a part of Solid Rock Baptist Church. God is able. Pray for circumstances. Pray for conviction. Pray, folks, that somehow, some way, you know, there's people that are looking today. And how many times have we been the contact that they needed? And yet we didn't hand out that tract. That contact that they needed, and we didn't invite them to church. Hey, guilty. Folks, there's been times when I should have and I didn't. I know every one of us could raise our hand here. God is able to save your close friends and loved ones, so ask him to do it. God is able, number three, to supply your concerns and needs, so ask him to do it. You know, God is able to save us from hell, but he doesn't have the wherewithal to supply financially after you give your tithes and offerings. That one really confuses me. Man, I thank God he saved me from hell. And I have found that God is able to do above and beyond what I could ever ask or think. Amen? God is able. 2 Corinthians 9, the Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Man, I'll tell you what, I want that grace. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. I want to be able to have that grace of giving that the Bible speaks about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That grace, there's a lot of Christians that don't have it. It's very evident in Scripture that that's what he's speaking about here. Deuteronomy, the Bible says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Man, I'll tell you what, everything I got came from God. Got to Canada, we moved in, we had a big old 66-passenger bus, we had, I don't remember, 100,000 tracks, 50,000 John and Romans, Bibles, we had a piano, we had a tent, we had a table and one mattress, and moved on into Canada, and we had a car, and I think I had $3,000 is all I had, and we moved in there, God gave us a house, we found furniture, and man, I got stuff in places, I don't even remember what I got. It's amazing how God is able to supply, amen, your concerns and your needs. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul is trying to tell the church at Philippi to believe God for their finances. You know, not to go to some financial advisor to seek his way on how to do things and leave out tithing. There's this knucklehead that comes on the radio. He's a financial advisor. I can't even remember his name, but I've heard him advise people that are financially in debt to quit tithing. Man, I want to reach to that radio and choke him. That's wrong. That was bad advice. Believe God. I remember Brother Scott and Sue came to church. Brother Scott had child support. He had debt. They were just an absolute mess. And I remember him coming to me. He said, "I can't tithe. I can't afford to tithe." I said, "You can't afford not to." And then he came the next week. He said, "All right, I'll tithe, but I can't afford to give to missions." I said, "You can't afford not to." And he just said, "Okay, whatever. I'll go ahead and do it." And how long y'all been there? 15, 16 years? A long time. 07, they got there. That's 15 years they've been there. And he's been tithing, never missed. Been given to missions, and God has blessed them. Man, I'm telling you what, if you know, I heard another man at our church come in. This was when we first started in Calgary, and he said, "I can't afford to tithe." That's what he said. He told me, he said, "I tried tithing once, and it didn't work." I said, "Obviously, you know, I'm a King James Bible believer." A lot of people claim to be a King James Bible believer, but where when the rubber meets the road, they're not. Amen. You're a Bible corrector. Amen. You that are sitting here that don't tithe and give to missions, you're a dud, man. You are a Bible corrector. You think that it's okay to keep your money, steal God's money. Amen. I'm telling you, you don't realize what you're missing out on. You don't realize, believe God for your finances. He is able. I want to say not only believe God for your finances, behave with your finances. Amen. Starbucks on every corner. Some of you might want it, probably more than Starbucks. I mean, I'm looking at myself, so I'm preaching to you all. But, you know, I watch some of our folks at Solid Rock. You know, their wives can't cook. And, you know, they got to go out to eat every time. You know, she's had a hard day. And, you know, they can't afford to be going out to eat. And they get in debt and they quit tithing and quit giving to missions. And I'm thinking, you know what your problem is? You don't know how to behave with what God has given you. That's why you don't tithe. Because you don't know how to behave with the money that God has given you. Test them. I'm telling you what, the Lord will help you. He will. Believe God for your finances. Behave with those finances. One of the main reasons why we don't pray, folks, about what we ought to do with our money is because we don't trust God that he'll be able to supply our needs. God is able. You know, he gives us a job. You know, read your Bible. It says he gives us monies so that we can give to others. Amen. These lights don't come on just by, the government grants. These lights come on because people are tithing. We got a building here because people are tithing and giving. Amen. And everybody needs to do their part. Amen? Give. You know, when there's offerings being taken, we take up offerings as often as I can. And number, I do it because it helps people to keep focus. And number two, I do it just to aggravate people. Aggravate them. I get up and say, yeah, here we go again. I'm going to aggravate some of you. We're going to take up another offering. We are all, ask our people, we're always taking up offerings. We took up an offering for Mama C and Brother Frank's shower. She needs a shower. She can't get in the tub. She's getting older. She's getting dementia. And so we took up an offering for that. Took in, I don't know, about $3,000. Took up another offering. We want to help build the church in Vientiane City, Laos. They're putting up a brand new church in the capital of communist Laos. I want to get in on the ground floor. And so we're taking up an offering for that. Now when we get back to Solid Rock, we're going to take up another offering. And we're calling it the widow's offering. We got a widow right here. One is Erlinda. We have another lady at our church. Her name is Elaine. And we want to try to help these ladies for Christmas. And then once we get past there, we'll find something else to take up an offering for.
I'm coming in January.
Give towards us. We'll be out of money, preacher. Sorry. Amen. But that is one of the things that I have found at Solid Rock. Our folks, we have good giving people. Yes, they got big hearts.
Amen.
And a lot of it is because they've learned to behave with their finances, live within their means. Amen?
Amen.
Live within the means that God wants them to live within.
Amen.
You know, tithe, that's why that helps you to behave with your finances. Give towards others, to offerings. Give towards missions. Amen. There's no greater place to invest. Man, I've invested in Vietnam, and I have rewards on the other side because of what I have invested. Man, how could you not? Not. Man, I'm telling you what, I want to give where there is going to be a great dividend on the other side. We've had dud missionaries, and I'm getting sick and tired of duds. And you know what we do? We just keep increasing the support of the other ones that are doing the job. Who knows, by that time we might get down to just a few missionaries supporting them at $5,000 a month each. I don't know. The way things are going, missionaries leaving the field. But, you know, how do you behave with your finances? Tithe, give. Another way is don't covet. Stay out of the mall. Be a good place. Number one, men and kids, little boys shouldn't be going in a mall anyway. It's a vile place. Vile. Vile. You know, obviously, if you're a dad and you're taking your boys in a mall, you got something wrong with your head. They walk in there and they see some of that stuff that's in there. They ought not to be looking at it. You don't realize what you're doing to your boys. When you open the door up, you got Victoria's Secrets always right there at the entrance. They got pictures they ought not to be looking at. And, you know, you try to hide the eyes of your boys. You know, you can try as hard as you want, but they're looking at the window over here so they can see the reflection on the other side.
Amen.
They're little boys.
Right.
That flesh is weak.
Amen.
But covetousness is one of the greatest enemies of missions.
Amen.
One of the greatest enemies of missions. Amen. You know, we don't pray about purchases that we make. You know, we go out and buy a car with a $500, $600, $700, $800 payment, and we don't have the finances to back it up. You know, there's some people here that probably can afford a big car payment. Brother Dan probably makes more than $10 an hour. And we got some people at our church. Brother Gary, he's the vice president of an oil company. But you gotta live within your means.
Right.
You gotta behave with your finances.
Amen.
God is able.
Amen.
If we'll just quit thinking that just because Pastor got it, Brother Matt got it, Brother Dan got it, don't mean you gotta have it.
Amen.
That's a problem.
Right.
And churches, you know, you got one guy buys a truck, the other one needs a truck, the other one needs a truck, the other one needs a truck. Amen, Brother Corey. We've all seen that at Solid Rock.
Amen.
Before you know it, you're so debted down that you can't even pay attention. God is able to supply But the biggest problem we got is us. We quit behaving with our finances. We quit believing God. I want to say number four, God is able to sanctify you from carnality and worldliness, so ask Him to do it.
Amen.
Man, there's more carnality and worldliness in our churches today.
Yeah.
You know, it's a full-time job of a pastor to preach against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This altar that's right here, you know what it doesn't say on this altar? It doesn't say confessional booth. This is not a confessional booth. This is not where you come down and you try to be absolved of your sins like they do in a Catholic church, and they go right back out there doing the same. This is a place where you leave it behind, amen. You walk back to that seat, whatever it is that you put on the altar, you don't pick it up again. You know, I believe the Bible says very clearly, it says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth.
Amen.
This modern day church is a mess.
Yeah.
Got the CCM, we went to Sight and Sound the other day. What an absolute joke.
Amen.
What a joke. I don't live here, so I can say it. If I was a Christian, I would not go and support that outfit. I went 7 years ago. They've changed in 7 years. They're playing CCM. It was a rock concert part of that night. And then they totally took everything out of context. They got David's mom raising David. Jesse was an idiot. That's the woke mentality. And then they turned all the... Anyway, I better be careful. I'm not preaching about this. But. Worldliness. I mean, we better be careful where we're going. I was ashamed. My wife's sitting next to me. We're not even to the whatever they call that crazy thing in the middle, the intermission, and she says, I'm getting up right now. I said, no, you're not. I said, we got people down there. We got people down there. We got people over here. I don't know how many of us were there. There was a bunch of us there. And we stayed to the end, and you know, that was a wasted 2.5 hours of my life that I ain't never going to get back. And that's where the church is at. We sat there, old farts, sitting there. Sorry, people with white hair probably should. Anyway, these old people, like me. And they don't even care. They're okay with it because you know what it is? It's been let in a little by little by little. And our churches are okay with this junk. Amen. Music's where it starts. Amen. It starts with, compromising the Word of God. This feminization. I don't know, man. I remember when I went on deputation almost 20 years ago, and there was an effeminate move going on in the church. Man, I puke when I get around somebody that's feminine, a man. We've had them come into our church. You know what we do? We toughen them up. Help them become a man. Hey, guess what, church? We're there to try to help. You know, you see a mom and dad ain't doing their job, man, trip that kid when he's going down the aisle. Do something. Help him out. Sick your kid on him. You're laughing. We do it at Solid Rock. It's the way it is. We got boxing gloves up in front of the church. And we've had the little boys up there just beating the snot out of each other. I remember we had it going on in the basement. We had our two boys fighting. One of them ended up, he had blood all over his white shirt, and he's walking out. His mother-in-law walks by, and she goes, this is disgusting. Well, they're not here anymore. They've gone on down the road. Her and her husband were raising this little sodomite, and they've gone on down the road somewhere else. And it was the same family that, did the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. But anyway, God is able to sanctify you from carnality. He can. He can help you get victory. Man, how many of you sitting here have never gotten victory over anything? God will help you. Amen. There's a lot of people that used to be here that ain't here no more. You know why? Because they couldn't get victory. They could not find that place where they could get the help that they needed because they didn't ask God. You know, they thought, well, this is who I am. You know, I've memorized all this scripture. I've done all of this. All that stuff don't help if you don't talk to God. Amen.
Yeah.
He's the one that'll help you to live right.
Amen.
Ask him to do it. He is able. Ask him to clean your heart. We sing about it. We sing about a lot of stuff we don't mean. Cleanse my heart. We ask him to clean your hands. Some of the stuff that we handle on those phones. Click, 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 click. Man, I'm telling you. If you can't handle the phone, get rid of it. I got a dumb phone. I saw talking about don't bring your phone into church. I got mine in my pocket. I was laughing when I said that earlier. But this phone right here, you're not going to be addicted to it. It calls is what it does. It texts. It don't do anymore. If you can't get victory over it, then you're going to have to get rid of it.
Amen.
What do we do back 20 years ago? I didn't have a cell phone.
Amen.
Landline, amen? I know that's pretty radical, but you know God is able.
Amen.
Ask him to clean your heart. Ask him to clean your hands. Ask him to clean your habits. Some of the habits that go on in independent Baptist circles today. Despicable. I want to say number five, God is able to show your course for the future, so ask him to do it.
Amen.
Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite.
Yeah.
I believe what God will do to be able to show you what you need? He'll use the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
That's how we ended up in Calgary 17 years and 5 months ago. You know what we did? We asked God to show us his course and that he would show us where he wanted us to go. And I'm glad we asked him and his spirit led us.
Amen.
He will use the spirit of God. He says there in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's no doubt about it. One of the greatest ways to tell you that you are saved for real is the spirit of God is in there leading you and guiding you.
Amen.
Have you felt anything this week? Has God spoken to you about? Has he led you? Hopefully he's leading you with a number to wrote it right on this card.
Yeah.
So that you can give the faith promise so that Brother Mike can stay in Vietnam, so the Harwoods can stay in Canada, so these folks can stay on these mission fields around the world. You know, we wouldn't be in Canada today if somebody hadn't asked God that he would show them what they could give year after year after year.
Amen.
God is able.
Amen.
And he will show you, so ask him to do it. He will use the Spirit of God. You know what else he uses? He uses preaching. Thank God for the Scriptures. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, God used the Scriptures to bring me to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. God used the Scriptures to call me to preach as a 15-year-old boy. God used the Scriptures to lead me to the place where he wanted me. He said, I want you in Canada. And I want to say also, he will use the shepherd. Thank God for the preacher, amen?
Amen.
Ask, you know, you want to be able to know how to chart your family. You need to talk to the preacher. Listen to the preaching,
amen?
Amen. Thank God for the shepherd.
Yes.
I want to say also as we finish this message up here, God is able to strengthen you for conquest, so ask him to do it.
Yes.
Folks, we are in a battle.
Yes.
This is a battle like nobody has ever seen. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Through God's power, you can conquer the devil. Through God's power, you can conquer discouragement. Man, I've seen more discouraged Christians in the last 3 years than I've ever seen in all of my Christian life. The circumstances that are going on in the world, God is able. He's greater than lockdowns. Man, he can help us to get through these things if we'll just trust him.
Amen.
Bible says, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. Man, I'll tell you what, he can help. I don't know what it is that you need, but God is able. All we need to do is ask, amen? You can conquer the devil. You can conquer discouragement. You can conquer difficulties. And last, God is able to stabilize your character and service, so ask him to do it. Bible says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant to his own master? He standeth falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Amen. He can prevent you from falling. Folks, we've got to realize God is able. I don't care, you know, what Christian home you grew up in, what church you went to, you know, how much scripture you've memorized. I went through homeschool. I went to a Christian school. God is the one that will help you not to fall. Amen? Amen. Not every preacher has fallen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God you got a man of God that stayed here. How many years? 48 years, you said. 47th year. Man alive, that's unheard of. Today, there's a lot of preachers falling, but thank God for men like Brother Roberts, amen, that are staying by the stuff, amen. Thank God not every Christian is quit. Oh, there's a bunch. Bunch here at Old Paths, a bunch up at Solid Rock. I couldn't even begin to imagine how many people we have run off. We have run off people by the hundreds. I mean, we have like a revolving door syndrome at Solid Rock. Now I get to pastor about 100 and 150 Filipinos, but I guarantee you more than that have left. Got offended. You know what they got offended over, Brother Mike? The message of repentance, a lot of them. They loathed it. They hated it. They didn't want somebody to tell them what they had wasn't real. They didn't want to feel conviction of their sin. They wanted to be able to keep doing what they were doing. Not just Filipinos, but Canadians by the hundreds. They don't like the message of repentance is a hated message. He can prevent you from falling, and he can pick you up. Thank God for that, if you do fall. You know what he can do? He can pick you up, and he can use you again. You know, I think about Jonah. Jonah got a second chance. Thank God for second chances. You know, I think about Peter. Peter got a second chance. Man, what a man of God. You know, the message here tonight is that God is able, so ask him to do it. Amen? God is able, so ask him to do it. What is it that we need God to do for us? It's time that we take some time in prayer and cry out to him. You know, one of the things that I've noticed, in the Word of God is God wants us to continually go in there day in and day out and bug him to death. My mother-in-law and my father-in-law have told they're charismatic, and they said you ask God one time and you don't ask him again, because that's not faith. And I'm thinking, what Bible are you reading, man? I tell you what, I thank God I just kept asking and asking and asking and asking. You know, we'd come into meeting time and we just bombard the throne room and say, God, we need your presence. We need your help. We need you to touch Pastor Keenan when he comes in for family revival, because our families are a mess. Amen. Ask him and he will do it. God is able. I know he's able. I have proved him down through these years. In Old Paths, you're going to prove him tomorrow night. As you write down these figures, is it what God told you to write down? Or is it something that, you know, that you've computed in your head? This is, no doubt about it, this is the biggest decision you're going to make all year long as a church member of Old Paths Baptist Church, is what you write on these faith promise cards. God will help you. The heartbeat of Old Paths has been missions for a long time. But it's not been a heartbeat of every member here. No doubt about it. If you're not tithing, you can't give to missions. God help us. God is able.